در اومده بود الحمدلله
مامان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن وراء. I hope all of you guys are doing mashallah awesome. It's great to see you and welcome back to our second gathering for Islamic studies for 13 to 16 year olds. Alhamdulillah. We're going to be going through a book called Essentials of Islamic Faith. If you need a copy of this book, because I have it as a PDF, you can email me. I'm putting it in the chat right now at sw@suhaibweb.com. Actually, this email is better, swiss@suhaibweb.com. My apologies. You can email me here. Ignore the first email, the second email. Inshallah, I will send it to you. Last time, we had a number of serious technical challenges, so we moved to the Zoom format, and there's a number of reasons why. First of all, we can actually record this gathering, and I'll repost the recordings of these lessons on YouTube, on my YouTube page. Let me see if I can find my YouTube page address for you so you can use it. I'm not a big YouTuber, but I'll get it to you, inshallah. And you can utilize the rebroadcasts, inshallah, to help you as you go through the studies together. I'm super excited actually, and I think it's going to be really, really mashallah beneficial, and hopefully we can all learn something from it. Yeah, here it is. A few housekeeping announcements. First of all, the homework is actually found in the text, right? So if you look in the text itself, you're going to find that it is the, like in that text are questions and stuff. In that text are questions and answers. I don't have my video turned on yet because I'm going to share my screen with you, inshallah. so we can read together. So one second. I look all kind of messed up, man. My baby was up late last night with me. So you should be able to see the screen now, inshallah, as well. So let me know in the chat box if you can see the screen adequately, but I think you can, inshallah. So, okay, awesome. Thank you, Fariha. Allah bless you. Mashallah, to a lot of people here, and I'm super excited to be teaching this book to you all, and I'm looking forward to your feedback. And as I get better at Zoom, I'm trying to Yusuf, if you go to the Crowdcast gathering, I put it there. I'm glad it's there. I think everyone else can hear. So if you can't hear,
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shaykh, you mind if I intervene for 1 second?
Sure.
Do you one question out of curiosity? How long is the series for?
So the series is actually up on the Crowdcast page, as well as if you send emails, we send out that it's an 8-week series with the syllabus and the schedule, alhamdulillah. Okay. And if we need to go longer, we'll go longer.
By the way, Sheikh, just an FYI, this isn't Ikram Huck, this is his son, so.
Oh, hey, ask your father to contact me.
Yeah, no, I actually did. I heard your cast from yesterday. I'm 17, and I just found this by, you know, by chance, so. And I know it was from 13 to 16, so I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to go through your series. Alhamdulillah, you actually, the last time I actually met you was when I was 3 years old or something.
So. Yeah, mashallah, mashallah. Yeah. But seriously, I need to speak to your father about an important fatwa issue, so.
Yeah, no, inshallah.
Text me and I'll send you his email. Mashallah, so that is also another thing. If you have questions, just feel free to chime in. Just kind of give me a FYI, because I really want you guys to feel that you can engage. Yeah, we're going to stick to Zoom, Abdurrahman, because Crowdcast is, it should be called Broadcast. SubhanAllah, we've had so many problems with Crowdcast that it's really, really difficult. Just so everybody knows, I'm here, because it seems like everybody's freaking out. I am here, I'm with you, you can see me, alhamdulillah, we're hanging out together, mashallah. You should be able to see me now. And let me see if I can pin my, there you go. So mashallah, assalamu alaikum everybody. It's me, like the voice you hear is me. You don't have to freak out. I look super, super jacked up because mashallah, last night around 1 o'clock in the morning, my daughter decided to have a dance party in her crib. So from basically, 2 o'clock till Fajr time, I was learning how to do all the popular dance moves that are out there today, man, subhanAllah, as well as feed milk, mashallah, to her. So a few quick housewarming points. Number one is the homework is in the text, right? So if you don't have a copy of the text, you can email me and I will send you a PDF. Number two, the lesson plans and syllabus are still being made. We have almost 2,000 students on our platform, so trying to keep up with it has been, mashallah, really awesome. The third thing is, inshallah ta'ala, if you have any questions, as I said before, feel free to ask your question. If someone says something that you don't agree with, there's no need for you to get upset with them or anything like that. So we're going to start the book, and we're going to actually start from the beginning, because last time a number of people weren't able to be here. And again, I want you to feel welcome, and I want you to feel confident. One of the things that should come out of being a Muslim, alhamdulillah, and having a relationship with faith is confidence, alhamdulillah. If you can't hear, then you need to check your audio. Yeah, if you can't hear. It's important to note that, like, if well, they're not gonna be able to hear me anyway, so if you can't hear, check your audio connections. So let's start again with this text and a little bit about myself. My name is Suhaib Webb. I accepted Islam. Mashallah, I became Muslim in 1992 at the age of 20 years old, subhanAllah. And, you know, I became Muslim because my friend in Islam, my friend was Muslim, alhamdulillah. And it was like a very profound relationship that we had together as like friends. And I would ask him questions. And also I was a music producer. And the people that I was producing and working with were, in fact, like Muslim. to a certain degree, so they exposed me to Islam. And I mentioned here in the introduction of this book why I put this text together. This text actually came together when I was on Snapchat a few years ago, and I started getting all these questions from really awesome young people about Islam, like Muslims and non-Muslims. And what I realized is, like, there needs to be a text that kind of, you know, precisely addresses the questions that they have. So that's why it's very important for you to ask questions, because the questions you ask, I will potentially put in the second kind of release of this text, if that makes sense. Also, I have two teenagers. Well, one is now, mashallah, 18, one is 16, and I have a 10-month-old baby. So my teenagers ask me questions that I had challenges even in Islamic studies to find resources in the English language for them. So I mentioned here that one of the important kind of components of learning, what should come out of learning, is a sense of confidence, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Sahaba in the Quran, He mentions that they were people who were confident. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linas, right? They were sent to people. They were not just simply living in the masajid. They were able to engage people and engage the world. Like, can you imagine some Bedouin Arabs, many of them were completely illiterate, were able to, like, spread this religion and spread it across different cultures, different countries, and different places so quickly? Obviously, there was a sense of like confidence in their lives. And what I feel sometimes, and I've experienced this myself, I've had some mean teachers, is that Islamic studies teachers sometimes tend to be very intimidating or very harsh. And that's the opposite. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, I never saw anyone kinder than the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other thing is that as a Muslim, it's important for you to learn your religion, man. You know, I was shocked when I accepted al-Islam. I went to an MSA booth. It's like a table where people used to give like dawah pamphlets.
I did not hear you. It's weird.
I think most people can.
Yeah, we can hear.
Can hear. If you can't hear...
Oh, no, alhamdulillah, I can hear.
Okay. Yeah, but we can hear you. Would you mind muting yourself? That's cool, man. Mashallah. So, I was sitting at a dawah booth. This is my first week into al-Islam. And a person came and asked his brother, who was born Muslim, what's Islam? And he said, I don't know. You have to ask the Sheikh and go to the mosque. And the person was like, I'm not going to go to a mosque to ask what your religion is. So I had a conversation with him, like, listen, you know, as a recent convert to al-Islam, it's very important that you at least know what your religion is. So it's very important that we take an individual responsibility to learn our religion, especially if we're frustrated sometimes at the community or frustrated sometimes with teachers. But if we haven't learned, then we're not really sincere in our criticism. Like, if I'm critical of something, then I should learn about it so that I can properly criticize it. But most importantly, as you grow older, and the importance of young people is often mentioned in the Quran in many places, you want to be able to, like, learn your religion properly so that you feel confident. As you get older, you're going to meet people through this journey of life who are going to challenge you. You may have experiences that challenge you and rock your faith. And you want to be able to root that faith in knowledge. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said the first thing that you should call people to, right? The first thing that you should call people to is La ilaha illallah. Like, that's where you start. You start with faith. You start with faith. With that in mind, I decided to write this text for your demographic, for your age group, inshallah, and I hope that you'll benefit. What are you going to take from this text? You're going to take the obligations related to what you need to believe in as a Muslim. What are the things that you have to believe as a Muslim? And those beliefs are going to allow you then to have bigger conversations with people, like about evolutionary theory, gender issues, things related to science, things related to theology and life. Why does bad things happen? And so on and so forth. This is going to, like, kind of furnish your life in a way that allows you not only to be someone who can answer people's questions, but also someone who can answer your own questions. And I have to say, honestly, Perhaps some of the most difficult questions I see people usually have are coming from themselves. And they haven't prepared themselves. Like, knowledge is like preparation. You prepare your heart for those moments. And that knowledge will come and help you. Imam Shafi used to say, if I'm lonely, my knowledge is with me, right? My knowledge is there to help me. So we started last time with the first statement, and this book is written by someone named Sheikh Ahmed Dardir, Rahimahullah. And again, I want you to feel free to raise your hand and unmute yourself and ask any questions at any time, especially as I try to learn how to teach this way. I'm used to teaching in crowds of people, right? So this is something new for me. And wallahi, I love you guys for the sake of Allah. You know, I mean that. I don't even know you, but I believe there's so much khair in young Muslims, man. There's so much good in you guys, and there's so much potential. And in the future really is coming through you. And it's an obligation upon us to be here for you. Not to be here to tell you how to live your life, but to be here to inspire you, inshallah. So I hope that this course is an inspiration and really ignites you. And I understand that these are scary times. And if you need to contact me for anything, you have my email address, which is the Swiss email address. If you need to contact me about anything that you're going through, we have resources also that we can get you in touch with if you need help. I really want you to know that you're not abandoned from the community, inshallah. So this book is written by a sheikh. His name is Sheikh Ahmed Dardir. He's super, super awesome. For some reason, I'm going to struggle with the raising the hand stuff because my computer is really tripping. So if you want to ask something, feel free just to unmute yourself and ask a question, inshallah. This book is written by a scholar. His name was Sheikh Ahmed Dardir. He's from Egypt. He was from Cairo. He lived in a very old part of Cairo. He was a respected scholar. And the textbook that you're actually going through is still taught in what's like the Hogwarts of the Muslim world without the magic, of course, is called Al-Azhar. And he begins and he starts with a primary obligation. So how you want to look at this book is it's telling you, these are the things you need to know about God and believe. These are the things you need to know about prophets and believe. These are the things you need to know about angels and believe. And as we continue, if this last longer than 8 weeks, I'm going to continue with you. You know, as long as Allah keeps me alive, I'll continue with you, inshallah. And we'll continue to build on these texts. So we'll go through theology, we'll go through Islamic practice, we'll go through spirituality. And also, I hope to create a time once a week like this for you, where you can just ask questions, like anything that you want to ask, inshallah. So the Sheikh, he says, يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِ مَعْرِفَةُ مَا يَجِبُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِأَنْبِيَئِهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ الْكِرَامِ. If you guys want, I can try to read this really slowly so you can hear it. يَجِبُ, which means it is obligatory, عَلَى, upon the mukallaf. We're going to talk about this today. مَعْرِفَة, we talked about this last time. And مَعْرِفَة means, it's translated to know or knowledge, to know, right? Know the ledge. Because if you know the ledge, you won't fall. That's why it's called knowledge. مَا يَجِبُ, what يَجِبُ is obligatory to believe about Allah. Ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. وَلِأَنْبِيَئِهِ, and the prophets. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ الْكَرَامِ, and his noble angels. So the Sheikh, he begins to frame the primary obligation as being one of knowledge. And this is a question that I ask the 16 and 18 year olds, inshallah, is what do you think is the first obligation of Islam? And that was their homework, and they've been emailing me. And only one of them said knowledge. People said, for example, salah. People said, you know, fasting. People said being good to their parents. People said this and this. But listen, if you don't know something, how can you believe in it? And that's a question I want you to think about now. If you don't know something, how can you have true faith in it? Is it possible? I'll ask a question. You guys can either unmute yourself and answer. I think it would be better if you can. If you don't know something, is it possible to have true faith in it? That's my question. What do you guys think?
I think no, because if you don't know what you're believing in, then you can't really believe in it if you don't know what it is.
Mashallah, who's speaking?
Reem.
Reem, alhamdulillah. So you're saying, can you say it one more time?
You can't believe in something if you don't know what it is, because, like, if you don't know what something is, then you can't believe in it.
Mashallah, that's beautiful. That's an awesome answer, Reem. May Allah bless you. Anyone else have any thoughts? What's the first why is it impossible to believe in what you don't know? Yes, sir.
Maybe because you don't know it, so you don't know what you're believing in.
Right. And if I don't know it, how can I be certain of what it is? So here, I want you to think about something. This is a side discussion. This is why we have the 99 names of Allah. Because the 99 names of Allah are the means by which we know Allah more. So you, who gave the last answer? Sorry, I didn't get your name. I guess he ran away. But mashallah, so Reem and our brother who gave the last answer, mashallah, that's correct. Islam states that it's impossible to have what we call blind faith. Blind faith is not allowed in Islam when it comes to the foundational issues like God, angels, prophets, books, the hereafter, and why do good and bad things happen. Those have to be learned by every single person. We have a very beautiful principle in Islamic studies, and I can type it. I'll type it in an easier way in the chat. There is there's no blind following in the foundations of Islam or Islamic belief. Meaning, you must learn. Everybody has to learn. And that's why last time, if you recall, I mentioned this verse, right? In Surah Muhammad. Surah Muhammad is like such a beautiful surah, mashallah, the 47th chapter of the Quran. If you look at Surah Muhammad, verse, I believe, 19. And I'll just show it here and you can try to check it out later. Yeah. So here, if you look at it, fa'lam. So no, this translation is a little bit off. The word i'lam means you must know. So you must learn. So I would prefer the translation I write in the box is learn, with like an exclamation mark. Learn annahu la ilaha illallah. You have to learn, and I have to learn, that there is no ilah except Allah. There is no God except Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me get out of here quickly. This is kind of in my way. This box. So the first obligation, and I always found this really beautiful, is that in Islam, and for some reason, sorry about that, it sent it to someone privately. So if you look at it again, learn is a better translation. You must learn Muhammad. Verse 19. You must learn that there's no God except Allah. So upon you, every single one of you, it's not enough that you're born Muslim, that your culture is Islam, that your parents converted. None of that can help you. Every single one of you is responsible. I'm responsible for learning our religion. And the more that we learn, the stronger our faith creates. And also, that's a great question. Iqra actually is read. It's an order. You have to read, right? Because reading is a key to knowledge. MashaAllah. Excellent. So the Sheikh, he says, يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِ It is mukallaf. It's in learning Islam, the meaning, in Islam, learning the meaning and implications of faith about God, the prophets, and the angels is an obligation upon every responsible person. So here in the very beginning, you will see that I talk about the importance of knowledge and why knowledge is important. If you look at the fifth chapter of the Quran, verse 98, this happens over and over in the Quran. Know, learn, 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 and Allah. You must learn that Allah is shadeed in punishment, firm and severe in punishment, and that Allah is forgiving and merciful. And the only thing, and this is so beautiful, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam, he was asked or commanded to ask for an increase in, was knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Sure, Yusuf, you can unmute yourself and ask the question, Habibi. You don't have to type it in the
chat.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. So my question is, is it haram to have knowledge?
Yes, it can be sinful if we don't learn to the point that learning will cause us to have proper belief. So sometimes that's a great... Was that Yusuf that asked the question, mashallah?
Yeah.
That's awesome, bro. Great question, man. When we say that learning is a sin, it doesn't mean you have to become the greatest scholar since, like, you know, heat and eat samosas, man. What it means is that you have to learn and I have to learn as much as needed to have faith. So for me to refuse to learn, and I have doubts and I have issues and I struggle, and I mean, I don't know why my iman is so bad, man. What is my iman is not strong? Well, you need to address the issues of why you have weak iman. We're going to talk about that in this class together, inshallah. So it's sinful if I don't learn what I need to be a believing person. It's not sinful if you don't learn, like, how to read the Quran, like the greatest qari ever, or, you know, you go to Azhar. That's not sinful. What's sinful is that I'm not learning enough to preserve my faith and my practice, okay? In the text above, the Sheikh uses this word, we're going to talk about it now, al-mukallaf. The mukallaf, the word taklif, the word mukallaf there, mukallaf. This sounds like a test question, by the way. It's from the word kulfa. And kulfa means to burden someone. If I say, for example, in Arabic, ukallifuk, it means that I am burdening you with something. I'm charging you with something. I'm making you responsible. The word that's often used in books like this and in theology is taklif. See if I, oh, that's so cool. You can do that. Taklif. Taklif is responsibility. But here it means to be religiously responsible. If you look at the last verse of the 33rd chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that we are given, the second to the last verse, sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this idea of us being responsible. We are created to be responsible, subhanAllah. That is called taklif. Taklif means responsibility. So Allah says, so the Shaykh, he says, يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِ مَعْرِفَةُ. So it is an obligation upon the responsible person to know. And we talked about what ma'rifa means. Ma'rifa is a beautiful word. It comes from a word which means to smell. Arf. Arf, right? Arf. If people can please try not to write on the screen, inshallah, it's going to be super great. But if you hear something that you feel is like a good note, you can write it on the screen. Maybe it will help other people. But don't, like, make marks and stuff. Come on, man. I'm starting to feel like I'm in a subway in New York City with all this cool graffiti, alhamdulillah. So the word ma'rifa. So the word ma'rifa means to know, and the mukallaf is who is made responsible by Allah. Mukallif, if this had a kasra here instead of a fatah, would be God. The mukallaf is you and me. Is you and me. And we know that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. لا يكلف, Allah will not burden you more than you can handle. And we're going to talk about that as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. So let's get moving. We have a lot to cover today. So knowledge, we said, is the central primary obligation of Islam. And then the next question is, what makes you responsible? What causes taklif? What makes a person suddenly where they have to be responsible for their faith, for how they live their life, for learning, as Yusuf asked about earlier? When I'm mukallaf, now I become responsible. Nu'man, you can unmute yourself and ask, inshallah.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
So, about what you said about the knowledge, like, if you have a responsibility to learn about it, right? So, what if you can't, like, learn, like, financially, mentally, or physically?
Hey, we're going to talk about that in a second. Good question, Nu'man. Nu'man is ahead of the game, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you, bro. That's a great question. I love questions, by the way, everybody. So feel free to ask questions and feel free to engage. And if I don't know something, like if you're like, oh man, I don't want to ask him this question, he might not know. It's okay. I don't know. Alhamdulillah. Like, we shouldn't be that insecure, alhamdulillah. So Nu'man, we're going to answer that question now. What makes somebody responsible? There are certain things that make you, as a young adult, all of you, responsible. The first is what we call moral reasoning. Moral reasoning. The ability to understand the difference between right and wrong. So my daughter now, she's 1 month old, 10 months old, excuse me. Last night she woke up, she pooped her pants, she grabbed my beard, she, you know, was like, looking out the window at 3 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't moralize with her. I couldn't tell her, like, you shouldn't poop in your pants and you shouldn't look out the window and you should let your baba sleep. She's only 10 months old. As we get older, right, we begin to learn how to moralize what's right, what's wrong, especially as you get into young adulthood like all of you are. And that is where this responsibility comes into play. 10 months Abdurrahman, 10 months Afwan. That's where this responsibility comes into play. So the first is morality, having the ability to conceptualize good and evil, to understand what's halal and understand what's haram. The others are related to physical symptoms, so like menstruation or having a wet dream or the appearance of underarm hair. Those are also the physical signs of taklif. So number one, we said, is the psychological, logical ability. Number two is related to physical ability. The third, and this is really important, knowledge, moralizing right and wrong. Second is physical ability. The third is emotional and psychological health. So we're going to unpack each of these in a minute. And then the fourth, and this goes back to Nu'man's question, is actually knowing about it. So again, what are the four things that make you responsible? Number one is knowledge, the ability to moralize between right and wrong. Number two is physically being able to perform the act. Number three is that someone's emotional and psychological health is okay. And then the fifth is that they've actually heard, that they've actually know about it. And then the fifth, and this is important now in the case of the virus, is that there are external parameters around you in the corporal world, in the physical world, allow you to perform the act. So for example, now in Salatul Jumu'ah, or going to prayers in the mosque, because of the coronavirus, we are now existentially, right, kept from being able to practice that obligation, right? So we're no longer obligated to do those things at this moment because of the virus. If we go outside, if we try to pray, if we meet with people, we maybe get sick. So again, what are the five? And if someone can type them in the chat, it's going to be super awesome. May Allah bless you. Or if someone wants to type them here on the screen while I talk, mashallah, Allah bless you. What are the five things that make you responsible to worship God, to make you responsible for your relationship with Allah, that make you responsible being a Muslim who lives a life of purpose? Number one is that you have the mental capacity to understand. Number two is you have the physical ability to perform the act. Number three is, mashallah, thank you guys for helping me out. Number three is that the psychological and emotional health is there. Number four is that you know about it. And number five is that externally you're not kept from performing the act. Let me give you examples of each one in a very practical way. So the first is related to being able to know right and wrong. I gave the example of, say, my daughter, That's a good example, right? As a child, she doesn't necessarily know between right and wrong. A physical, but there are also times where, for example, people with learning disabilities, people with certain learning challenges are going to be perhaps inhibited or kept from completely being able to perform certain acts. I'll give you an example. I had a congregant once in my old mosque who was a, she has severe OCD. And she would always, like, she would take so long to pray, man. Like, I would go into the musalla, she would be praying. I would leave and come for the next prayer, and she would still be praying. And she was a student at Harvard, mashallah. So one time I noticed she was really upset and distraught. So I went to her and I said, hey, salam alaikum. She's like, alaikum salam. I said, what's happening? She's like, man, I don't know if it's 2 rakat, 3 rakat, 4 rakat. Like, she couldn't remember. Like, she was so focused that she was unfocused. So I told her, in your situation, just pray. And at the end, pray the sujood sahwa for forgetfulness. We'll talk about this in the future. And go. Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry 1, 3, 4. Don't worry about this. Why? Because her ability for cognition is inhibited. Number two is, I'll give you an example of physical ability. I received a message a few days ago of a brother who's hospitalized with the coronavirus. He can't stand to pray. He can't stand to pray. So how is he going to pray? I told him, you have to pray sitting in your bed. So he's not physically able to do it. The third is someone, and this is very important, that has emotional psychological issues. So depression, anxiety, trauma that could be related to the past. We take those things into consideration. Another good example for the first is when we have people with Alzheimer's or dementia, and they struggle to know their worship. I had someone reach out to me and say that their grandfather has Alzheimer's and he doesn't remember how much he's prayed. So I said, just let him pray, man. Khali and yusalli. Like, just let him pray. So we can see now how these things become kind of more applicable to certain cases in our lives that are very important, right? The ability to comprehend correctly, the physical ability, the emotional psychological health. I'll give you an example of emotional psychological health. I had a young woman who reached out to me. I think someone is playing on the screen. If you can please stop, I would super, super appreciate that. If you're going to get on the screen, it's just to take notes. If not, I'm going to have to ban everyone from being on the screen. Sorry. Thanks. I'm sure it was an accident. I do it all the time. But there was a person who she was a convert to al-Islam, and she came to me and said that fasting the month of Ramadan triggers her bulimia, triggers her anorexia, sorry. So I told her, don't fast, right? If fasting is going to cause you. She told me, subhanAllah, I have not eaten in 4 days. Like, subhanAllah, I was like, how can you not eat in 4 days? So fasting now is triggering a mental health issue that we need to look after. She needs mental health professionals, right? And she needs to see her physician. The last, inshallah, is that someone, the last two is that someone knows. So if someone doesn't know, they're not held accountable, right? Unless they have the ability to learn. And that goes back to Yusuf and Na'man's question. And then the last one I gave is the example of the coronavirus and being kept away from being able to practice, right? Because of this joining prayers, praying janazah, and so on and so forth. Now we can't do that because we may become ill. So here are the questions that you're going to need to email me the answers to. Why is knowledge important in Islam? Discuss with your parents discuss with your parents instances in which knowledge of Allah has helped them in their lives. What does responsibility mean to you? And what I mean by what it means to you is, what does it mean to you personally, right? Not what it means to you. Like, don't give me the Sunday school answer, man. Here's my email in the chat, by the way. And you want to put in the subject matter homework 13 to 16, okay? So what does responsibility mean to you? Like, right now, responsibility means to protect, for me, I'll be honest with you, to protect my wife and my daughter, my father, my family, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. Like, in the face of all this stuff, like, I feel like that's where my responsibility is. Because responsibility can change. according to parameters. What does it mean to your parents? So I want you to talk with your parents. One of the things I hope that can happen through this quarantine, and one of the reasons I wrote this book this way, no problem, is that we begin to communicate. It's very important in your age. I know it's hard. I still have trouble, even though I'm 47, communicating with my parents, especially because I converted when I was very young. So when I converted, it created kind of a strange challenge, between me and my parents. But it's very important that parents and their children learn to communicate with one another. It's very important. Inshallah, we hope to have a workshop here at Swiss, led by a professional on how to communicate better as a family. It's like very, very important. Just one second. The Swiss staff is calling me. Let me make sure everything's okay. Assalamualaikum. Good. I'm in a class. Okay. Thanks. Making sure all our technical stuff is there. So my relationship with my parents was challenged. And then subhanAllah, over time, I learned to communicate with them. The homework that you see is here, guys. If you look right here, this is your homework that I'm going through now with you. So you want to discuss with your parents, what does it mean? What does responsibility mean to them? What does it mean to you? And how does that mesh with what we talked about above here, responsibility in Islam? What does responsibility in Islam mean? I now have to worship Allah. What is taklif? I talked about it above. What is the mukallaf? That's you, right? Based on taklif, can someone learn Islam for you? For example, can someone pray for you? Can someone like pray for you? And then your parents, you want to ask them to do this one. Ask your child when faith in Allah has helped them. Let's move on to the section two. And he's going to talk about having a relationship with Allah. I received a phone call perhaps 3 weeks ago from a person who told me that they don't know how to have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a 17-year-old person. I've been taught my whole life that having a relationship with God is something very difficult. And mashallah, thank you for sharing the link, Hana and Ilyas. You guys are the best, man. That's the link to the text, alhamdulillah. So this person said to me, I don't feel that I can have a relationship with Allah because I was told by my parents my entire life that Allah hates me. Subhanallah. So here's my question, and I want you guys to discuss it in the chat. And you can unmute yourself and engage me, right? What would you tell to someone your age who asked you or said to you, I feel because of what I've been told my whole life, whether from a teacher or my parents or someone, that Allah hates me? What would you say to that person to help them start their relationship with Allah? How would you motivate that person to try to have confidence in their relationship with Allah? Who's going to share with us, inshallah? Walaikum salam. Right, so try to ignore. Sometimes it can be hard to ignore our parents though, right? Like if it's a constant or from a teacher, someone we look up to. Someone else was going to share. Walaikum salam.
Can I go?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So what I tell him was that Allah's most forgiving. So that he'll still love you if you come to him to forgive him, and he can start out new and just, work and his prayer and read Quran. He can slowly get back to being a good Muslim.
Nice, nice.
And can I go to next?
Yeah, go ahead. Please, go ahead. Assalamu alaikum. Introduce yourself as well. I want to know who's here.
Walaikum assalam. What I would say.
Hey, who is this though? You got to introduce yourself.
My name is Haneen. I'm a 13-year-old girl.
MashaAllah, Haneen. Ahlan biki.
So what I would tell them is, what a great thing to do is learn more about Allah and how try and learn about, for an example, knowing his names. Like every name is a certain personality of his. Because knowing someone better is a way you can love them more and have a better connection with them. Mm. So I would tell them, try and learn more about Allah and try and discover more of the ways he can help you and how he loves you just like he loves everyone else.
Excellent, excellent. And I like, Hanin, how you said, like, learn for yourself, right? So one thing I've seen with people that go through this challenge who've had been around bad Muslims is to, like, learn about Allah and also learn about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who else would like to share? What would you say to this person who comes to you, has confided to you and said, like, my entire life, people have told me I'm bad. What can I do? Wa alaikum salam. Who's this?
Hello. I'm Yusuf again.
Hey, welcome back, Yusuf, mashallah.
So basically, I mean, Allah, I mean, he loves his creation. You can't, like, not love your creation. And he's the most merciful and most giving. And, yeah.
Nice, nice. So try to have people. Yes, wa alaikum salam. Is this Hashim?
No, it's Reem.
Oh, sorry, Reem. Welcome back.
I would tell them that if they truly want to have a relationship with Allah, then they should read the Quran because it has a lot of guidance, and just make dua because it really helps.
Mashallah, make dua, mashallah.
To, like, start having a relationship.
Nice, nice. Nice, nice. That's really nice, mashallah. Anyone else have some suggestions that they would share with someone who has been kind of defeated by the community?
Wa alaikum
salam.
My name is Hamza, and I would say that Allah is always willing to listen to you, so you can make dua, and inshallah, he will accept your dua.
Mashallah, 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 Hamza, fatahallahu lak. Who else is going to share something with us, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Mu'min.
Mu'min, assalamu alaikum.
Allah doesn't hate anyone. He's the most forgiving, the most loving. And if you tell them that, and you tell them to make dua, you tell them to read the Quran, that starts the relationship that gets them closer already.
Mashallah, man. That's really nice. That's really nice. Alhamdulillah. How important do you think also it's important that, like, say, sometimes youth groups, right, they're cliquish. Like, I've had people complain to me and say that, you know, youth groups are not welcoming. How important is it to make sure also not only are we telling these people, but we're also showing these people? So what are some things, like, for example, the guy that called me, I invited him for coffee, right? He's an older person. I just spent some time with him and kind of just, like, listened to what he had to say. How many of you have met people, say, in the mosque or in youth group settings that are hurt? Was there anything you did that tried to, like, bring peace to their heart, peace to their mind, and make them feel valued? Because you can imagine, right? Hashim, can you please stop writing on the screen, man? Jazakallahu khairan, Hashim Habibi. You're, like, making lines and stuff on the screen, and it's, like, throwing everybody off, man. But how many times, or has anyone ever met someone who has been hurt and you did something to try to help them? What did you do? So not only just telling them, because you can, like, if you came to me and you said, like, hey, I feel down, I feel bad, and I said, well, just pray to Allah. It may seem like I'm dismissing you. So I can say pray to Allah, but then what about, like, why don't we, like, play Call of Duty together, or, like, why don't we go hang out together, right? Is there anything you've done in these situations where you tried to help somebody who has these challenges that's helped out? Can anyone share? So that's very important. Yes, please, go ahead. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Good salam.
If someone's feeling bad because they had a problem with someone, you can tell them to find the person and talk to them in person, not just text.
Yeah, yeah. And I like, that's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing. And Bilal's response in the chat room is also really good, right? One thing I've seen is, like, if someone has parents that are, like, hard on them, and if you have awesome parents, it's kind of cool to have them around your awesome parents, man. Just because, like, it gives them, like, an alternative model, right? So sometimes we find maybe someone's having bad experiences with people, then let's try as best we can to give them the opposite experience. Let's move on to section 2. I really appreciate you guys are so, mashallah, amazing, and I'm really enjoying this. Section 2 is going to talk about how do you know God? How do you start a relationship with God? And I'm just going to read it and then we'll start it on Friday, inshallah. Fayajibu, he said, then it is obligatory for you to know about God. Ashrina Sifa, 20 things. 20 things. Number one is that Allah exists, that He has no beginning, that He has no ending, that He's different than creation, and creation is different than Him, that He is completely independent, and that He is one. So we're going to go through now, on Friday, these seven qualities, right? Al-wujud wal-qidam wal-baqa, al-wujud wal-qidam wal-baqa, wa mukhalifatu lil-hawadith, wal-qiyamu bi-nafsi wal-wahdaniyya. Okay? فَيَجِبُ لِلَّهِ, he says, it is an obligation to Allah, عَشْرُونَ صِفَةً, 20 things. We're going to do the first 14 now. وَهِيَ الْوُجُودِ, actually the first seven, that Allah exists. We're going to talk about how do we know Allah exists? It's a very important question. وَالْقِدَمْ, he has no beginning. وَالْبَقَىٰ, he has no end. وَالْمُخَالَفَةُ لِلْحَوَادِثِ, he's in opposition to temporal beings. Al-Hawadith here means something that has a beginning, something has an end, something has a birth, something has a death. I'm trying to actually turn off everyone's microphones, but mashallah, some people are here and they're coming in and the mics are on. Mashallah, we can hear everything you're doing. وَالْمُخَالَفَةُ لِلْحَوَادِثِ, opposition to creation. وَالْقِيَامِ بِالنَّفْسِ, absolutely independent. وَالْوَحْدَنِيَّةِ. What I'm going to do now, if you have any questions that you want to ask, you can ask me either in the chat box or by chiming in. I saw someone ask, doesn't Allah not like the disbelievers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like disbelief. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Right? So disbelief is like the cancer in the body. You don't hate the body, you hate the cancer. I saw someone else write about like you can't take them as friends. No, that's not what the verse means. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ, means in a battlefield, you wouldn't side with the disbelievers against a Muslim. But it has nothing to do with like friendship. Al-Mu'ashara, that's different. Ya Allah, so Yusuf is saying that his cousin died from coronavirus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your cousin, man, and to give you and your family sakina and protect you all. And may Allah bless you, man. I'm sorry to hear that, Yusuf, man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you, inshallah. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. So if you want to chime in and ask questions, I'll be happy to do it. As you can see, mashallah, this has been a nice class. I really enjoyed spending time with you guys, and I look forward to building a relationship with you, inshallah. Look at all those ameens, Yusuf, man. Look at how many people love you, bro. Mashallah. Yeah, this shirt is made by a good friend of mine. I'll put it on Instagram if you're interested. He's a really good brother, mashallah. Somebody have a question? I didn't see Nosheen's question. Can you, Sarah, can you repost it for me, inshallah? Or she can ask also if she wants to ask. Yusuf, man, again, man, I'm making a lot of dua for you, bro. May Allah make it easy. And I'm sure a lot of us, we have friends and family now who are impacted by corona. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Like, really, really difficult to hear. Read al-Fatiha, inshallah, rahimahullah. Can someone repost? My Instagram is suhaib.web. My IG, suhaib. The next class is Friday, so we meet every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, inshallah. Does everybody understand what the homework is? The homework is to do the questions, these questions. And what you want to read this first section, section 2. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
My name is Sada, and her question was, she said, if it's not a responsibility to learn about my deen, how do I know Islam is the truth?
Yes, so it is a responsibility. That's what I said earlier, right? The responsibility is to learn as much as you need to be convinced that Islam is the truth. So you can look at knowledge as like filling your stomach, right? You eat not till you're full, right? But you eat till you're satiated. Knowledge is very similar. The knowledge of religion, you want to learn as much as you need to come to the conclusion that the religion is the haqq, is the truth. That's a great question. So your homework, guys, is above, and then I want you to read toward to here. Stop here. So you want to read to 2.7. So you want to do the homework under 1, and then the reading is 2 until 2.7. 2.8, sorry. Any other questions in the... Thanks, Abdurrahman and Ahmed, for sharing the book with everybody, mashallah.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So how do we show you our homework?
So you're going to show me your homework by emailing me. Look at this email address in the chat room. You're going to send it there. Mashallah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Question about the class. Is it going to be on the Crowdcast next week? I mean, the next class, or is it going to be on Zoom again?
Yeah, no, we're going to move to Zoom.
Okay.
Because actually, I like this platform better to teach. I feel like I'm closer to you guys. And also, Crowdcast should be called Brokecast, man.
I have a question.
It just keeps breaking. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. So I did my homework, but I learned in the book. So can I take a picture of it and send it to you, or I have to write it down somewhere?
Yes. You can just send me a picture on your phone, man.
Okay.
The other thing is also for the Zoom class, please email me at this address. I'm going to do two things. I'll send you the link to the Zoom class, the permanent link. But if you're signed up in Crowdcast, we will send you an email through Crowdcast that has the permanent Zoom link also, inshallah. All right. So this is a temporary link. So this link won't be here on Friday. We'll have a new one out and we'll get it to you, inshallah. Mashallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam rahmatullah.
So the homework, is it due tomorrow or the next time that we...
The homework is due before each, like ideally you want to have it turned in before the next session, right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And do, hey, hold on a second. Wa alaikum salam. Do me a favor. Do not write a novel. You know what I'm saying? In your homework, don't write a novel. Just write, you know, write enough, but don't write a novel. Wa alaikum salam. You had a question. Yes, ma'am.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Absolutely. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I'm going to post this class today on my YouTube page. If you look up somewhere in the comments way in the beginning, I posted, here is my YouTube page. I actually have a Google Classroom, Rukaya, so that's being developed, alhamdulillah. So I'm going to send to every one of you a link soon to the Muslim Classroom. Thank you so much for that advice, mashallah. Google Classroom, amazing. Yes.
So the link for Zoom will be sent on Crowdcast, right?
Sent on Crowdcast, but if you, I'm going to open up what's called a Google Classroom soon. So okay, we'll send you the Google Classroom link either through Crowdcast or you contact me at that email, swiss@suhaibweb.com, and I'll send it all to you. All right? Yeah, we should call some classroom. That's what's up. I like that. We're going to take a few more questions. We have like 3 minutes left. And again, I plan to also start once every 2 weeks, just like Q&A, just like this with all of you. So we'll take advantage of it there. Any other questions before we make a move? Absolutely not, Yefa. Having doubts is normal. It's not haram to have doubts about Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came to him and said, I have these questions that I'm scared to mention. He had doubts. And the Prophet said to him, ذَكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ, like, the fact that you are dealing with your doubts is the sign that you have, mashallah,
wow,
pure faith, mashallah. So it's okay to have doubts. What's important is to address our doubts. Yeah, taklif is responsibility. Layla, taklif means to be, is the word means responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us responsible. We are mukallaf to worship and live a life of meaning. And that's actually in that section that's coming in the future.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So when do we do like alpha squeeze and those stuff, like this and those stuff?
Inshallah, we'll send that to you in the syllabus, inshallah. So you'll see it there.
Okay.
I have another question.
Yes, sir.
It was something 5 at 10 p.m. on Wednesday. Is that also today?
10 p.m. is a Quran reading, so it's not this class. Haroon, that's important. You should take this class with us and continue taking this class. One thing that's really, really important to think about is dealing with doubts is a process, right? Oftentimes people want to stop doubting immediately, but as doubts came into our lives, right, as a process, we have to get rid of them as a process. Will this be recorded? Our Friday virtual khutbah starts at 1:45. Yeah, Abdillahi, as I said earlier, all these things are going to be here. And if people want, we can move the time on Friday to earlier so that people can attend their virtual Jumas. But this Friday we'll have it as scheduled, and then we'll talk about it next week, inshallah. Yes, ma'am.
Is it a punishment? Is the coronavirus a punishment from Allah, or is it just like a random event that unfortunately happened?
Allahu a'lam, but there is a hadith that says the taw'an, right? The taw'an can be a punishment for the disbelievers and a mercy for the believers. Fawallahu a'lam. You know, we'll talk about these, actually going to come up later as we study this course together, by the way, and give some clarity on how do we approach these issues, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. It has been awesome with you guys. I have another class coming up for 16 to 18 year olds, and I will see all of you. And I love these questions. These questions are, mashallah, simply incredible. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakallahu khairan wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. We'll see you on Friday, inshallah. And I will post the recording of this class up in the next hour or so on that YouTube page. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you.